Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Larry has done such a good job this evening in selecting songs that have caused us to center our thinking on the hand of God. We've had beautiful singing. I appreciate the way you have participated. These songs should prepare our minds to think about our Father's hands during the next few minutes. Folks, I am greatly concerned about what I perceive to be as trends in our society today. The teacher is encouraged to reach out with a hug of love, but never reach out with a hand of discipline. We are reminded, and rightly so, that as dads and mothers, we ought to ask ourselves the question, have you hugged your child today? And yet there are those in high places in this nation who are trying to get laws passed that would be violated if a dad or a mother ever used a hand to spank or to practice discipline. Along with this, we are at a time when it seems to me that we have a tendency to uphold the rights of the criminal. And there is the cry throughout the land that we certainly should not have capital punishment, and in many instances, maybe not other kinds of punishment. And the sad thing about it is that this idea is coming over into religion, to where too many people today can see only the positive side of God's love and the promises made through his arms and his hands, and do not listen when the Bible has something else to say. Most of you in the audience tonight have heard the song that is sung by Holly Dunn entitled Daddy's Hands. This song caught my attention a few years ago, especially when it was announced before I ever heard the song that Holly was the daughter of a gospel preacher. I then listened to it, and I was impressed with what I understood the message to be. The more I have listened to it down through the years, the more convinced that I am that this young lady in this song presented something that is very, very wise, which not only can be understood in the setting of the father-child relationship, but also can be transferred in principle to the teaching of the Bible that refers to the relationship of the Father in heaven to his sons and daughters on earth. I am concerned that some of our preachers today are presenting even to you of the younger generation the idea that the love of God means that he just reaches out with his arms to engulf you where you are, to tolerate what you are doing, and expects nothing more, and nothing could be farther from the truth. During the last 2 weeks, I have listened to a tape of this song so many times that my wife is tired of it. I want to share with you some of the things that are said in the song by Holly Dunn as she is talking about her own earthly father. And then I want to turn to God's Word and show you that almost word for word and principle for principle at least, that the Bible says the same thing or the same things about our Heavenly Father. The theme of her song that is mentioned in, I suppose, every course of it is, Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but there's always love in Daddy's hands. I had listened to that song several times, and I had not really paid attention to the impact of what was being said. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but there's always love in Daddy's hands. As I thought of that, I thought of a passage over in the New Testament which literally compares the hands of the earthly father and the hands of God the Father in heaven. You've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, Hebrews 12, verse 5. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? On down in verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. You see, this inspired writer is doing somewhat the same thing that we're doing tonight. He talks about the fathers in the flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Folks, we need to understand that there is a difference in love and tolerance. There is a difference in the grace of God and the tolerance of sin. I believe if you'll take this book and study it from cover to cover, you will not find that the grace of God at any time under any circumstances tolerated man in his sin. If he could have done that, there would have been no need for Jesus to come. But rather that God in his grace and love reached out to give man an opportunity to come out of that sin and extended the invitation to him to come out and to be received by the everlasting arms of God, the hands that care and the hands that love. Here are some of the other statements that are made in that song by Holly Dunn. She said when she looked at the calluses on her daddy's hands that she saw years of work and worry, working till they bleed, working with sacrifice to keep us all fed. Does that bring to mind something about the Heavenly Father? Then she said daddy's hands were always reaching out to hold me when I had a nightmare. Daddy's hands hold my mama tight and patted my back when I'd done something right. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying, but hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but there's always love in Daddy's hands. Young people, especially tonight, I want you to understand that the hands of God our Father, that are hands of love, are ready to reach out. In that verse that we read in Isaiah 59, his hand is not shortened, but that it can save. He has all the ability to save. His ear is not covered, but that he can hear. He can listen to our prayers. He can know our hurts. He can know our needs. But the second verse in that chapter begins with a little word, but. But your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God so that he will not hear. And built into that is, if you analyze it from a grammatical standpoint, built into that is that so that his hand is shortened. It's not shortened by his desire, but it's shortened by sin. So that he covers his ear and his hand is not long enough to reach out and save us in our sins and leave us in our sins and to tolerate us in our sins. Let's look at these statements a little bit more closely. Daddy's hands show years of work and worry and sacrifice, working till they bleed to keep the family fed. When we turn to Psalms, the 8th chapter, verses 3 and 6, the psalmist says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, down at verse 6, when he talks about the works of God's hands, that he's given man dominion over all of these, he calls them the works of his hands. God the Father in heaven is like the Father in this song. He has worked, and he has produced even with sacrifice to sacrifice the Son of God that was in heaven, his only begotten Son, and bring him to this earth that we might be saved. And where the Father's hand in the song has bled, look at the hands of Jesus Christ on the cross, where the nails went through and the blood came through, and even from his side, the blood that was shed and the sacrifice that was made to provide for his children. How many a father has been willing, and all of us fathers, I think, would be willing to work our hands to the bare bone until they bled to see that our families have what they need. That's the kind of love and concern and sacrifice that our Father in heaven has had toward us. Even in giving his word under the old law to the Jewish people, it is said that it was written with his fingers, Exodus 31, verse 18. John, the 20th chapter and verse 27, the blood of the hands of Jesus, or at least the prints of the nails in the hands of Jesus, indicate the sacrifice that our Father in heaven has given. In Mark 9, verse 36, when Christ was on earth and he reached out to the little children and took them into his arms and placed his hands on them and blessed them, indicates the kind of love and concern that our Father in heaven has for us. There is no question but that our Father in heaven was willing to work, even to the shedding of the blood of his Son, to work with sacrifice and with concern, that you and I might be fed spiritually, as this Father worked to feed his physically. Then there is that statement, my daddy's hands were reaching out to hold me when I had a nightmare, when I was hurting, when I had a problem. There's not a father in this audience tonight who doesn't understand that, at least to some degree. The time that the child was scared, the child had a problem, the child needed support and needed help. And I turn back to Deuteronomy 33:27 and hear the Bible saying, underneath are the everlasting arms. How many times has a child needed support to be lifted up from the despair and the discouragement that might be there in life? And how many times has it been a father's hand or a mother's hand that has reached out to give them that support and to help them know that somebody cares and somebody is there? Underneath are the everlasting arms of God. When you and I are sick, when we have death in our families, when we have problems that we face day by day, we have a Father who has promised that he will not allow us to be tempted above we're able to bear, and we'll make a way of escape. He's there to help us. His arms are underneath. They're everlasting. They're there to lift us up. They're there to help us in times of problems. And thanks be to God for that. I think it's rather interesting that we can even apply that statement where she says in the song, his hands hold my mother tight, because God calls himself the husband of Israel in Isaiah 54:5. John refers to Jesus Christ as the bridegroom of the bride, the church, in John 3, verse 29. And in a verse that we most often apply to the physical relationship, and it does, but not limited to, in Ephesians 5:29, where the husband is to nourish and cherish the wife, it says, even as Christ the church. And so there is a sense in which the hands of God reach out to hold his wife, the church, tight, to show love and to protect and to provide and to give that leadership that is necessary to the church of our Lord. There is a relationship between the father's hands and the mother that does not exist with anyone else. And there is a relationship between the God of heaven and Christ his Son, the groom, the husband of the bride, the church, that doesn't exist with anyone else. And when we think about the arms of Christ, we need to think about him as reaching out to hold his bride tight and to have concern for her. Then there is the statement that my daddy patted my back for something when I had done right. And that's the kind of encouragement that we have from our Father in heaven. It's the kind of encouragement that we need in our physical families. And sometimes we fathers are not as quick to reach out and pat someone on the back when something has been done right as we are to deal with something when it's been done wrong. Daddy's hands reach out to pat me on the back when I've done right. Did you notice in that passage we read from Isaiah 59 that his hands are not shortened but that he can reach down? And then in Isaiah 51 in verse 5, again, the hands of God are mentioned in the sense of encouraging us and helping us. God is there to promote us and to provide for us and to encourage us when we're living for him and when we're trying to do that which is right. And then there are the words that he's soft, his hands are soft and kind when I was crying. Soft and kind when I was crying. I turn in my Bible to Mark 6:5, and I see Jesus reaching out with his hands to help the sick. The hands of the Lord, the hands of God, if you please, reaching out to help someone who was sick and possibly crying. In the 9th chapter in verse 36 and the 10th chapter in verse 16 of the book of Mark, we see him reaching out to those little children. I enjoy reading that passage. Where his apostles were trying to get the little children to go away from him, they thought that they would bother him. He said, no, forbid them not and let them come to me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he took them up into his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. I don't know whether any of those little boys and girls were crying or not. But if they were, the Lord would have been there to reach out in kindness and to help, to let them know that he cared and that he was interested in them. But folks, in the same sentence in that song, where she says, Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying, she then says, hard as steel when I've done wrong. Hard as steel when I've done wrong. You think that God is going to reach out and engulf you when you are in wrong and leave you in that wrong and tell you everything's okay in that wrong, you don't understand the Word of God. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 10th chapter and verse 31. In the same Bible, it talks about how God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The same Bible that reaches out to tell us about all the ways that God has shown his love toward us and all the comfort that he has to help us and how his hands are there, his everlasting arms. In the same Bible, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Folks, why do people overlook that side of it? Why do they overlook what the Bible says on that point? Why do we hear people say, let's talk about love and never talk about fear? When in passages like 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 says, the love of Christ constraineth us, and verse 11 says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We need to come to realize that God is just as firm against sin as he is open to those who will come to him. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. A study in that context will show that he's talking about one who's not trying to turn to God, but one who is trying to live outside of God. It's rather interesting that in the Word of God, we find him talking about judgment in a positive way and a negative way relative to the hands of God. Isaiah 51:5, my righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arms shall they trust. Here he's talking about his judgment toward the things that are good and how that people can trust in the arms of God. And yet, in Psalms 9, verse 16, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. And back in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 33, listen to what is said in Old Testament times about the hands of God. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. Now there is a setting where the children of God were living in idolatry and turning their backs upon God. And God said, with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. The same Bible that talks about the hand of God that is not shortened but can save when we turn to him talks about a hand of God that will judge in fury when those who are living in idolatry will not turn to the living God. I think this is probably best summed up in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. A son of this father left home and went into the mire of sin. Study that story and ask yourself the question, did the father go out and hug the son while he was in the hog pen? Did the father go out and throw his arms around him and tell him, you've done wrong, you've made a big mistake, but I'm your father and I'm going to cover you up with love and that'll take care of all of it? No. You do not see the father's outstretched arms until that son repented. And when he came to himself and said, I'll go home and I will admit my mistake and I will ask my father to accept me back with a humble attitude, when the father saw him coming with that attitude, he went out to meet him and welcomed him home with outstretched arms. Rejoiced not only himself, but shared the rejoicing with his friends and said, my son that was dead is found. The one that was lost is now alive. Folks, we need to look at God for what he is. And we need to understand what is said in this song that we're using tonight in the best way that I think it could be said. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but there's always love in Daddy's hands. Our Father in heaven is ready to reach out with outstretched arms to accept us and to himself when we are ready to turn out of sin and go toward him. But as great as our God is, who could have done it any way he wanted to, we need to understand that he did not choose to save man in sin, but gave his only begotten Son that man might come out of that sin. Thanks be to God for his great everlasting arms that are underneath, for his loving hands that are always loving, even when he chasteneth us. Even when he tells us what we need to do and where we need to change, even when he tells us to come out of sin and repent and give it up and turn to him, every bit of that is love in the hands of God. The father that disciplines his little child to keep that child from touching the hot stove or falling into the big pit that's on the other side of the house loves that child just as much, yea, may even more, than he does when he's reaching forth to give him a present or reaching forth to hug him in love. Folks, the love of God includes standing against what is wrong as well as standing for what is right. And we have no promise whatsoever of being engulfed with the everlasting arms of Jesus until we are willing to humble ourselves in penitence and turn around and go in the direction of Jesus Christ. You remember, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't force himself in. You remember, it was Jesus that said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And when I read that passage, I think of my Lord as standing there with outstretched arms like this. But he's not rushing out to hug me in sin. He's standing there with his arms outstretched, and he said to me, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Daddy's hands aren't always gentle, but there's love in Daddy's hands. And when we put that in focus with the Word of God, let me tell you, our Father's hands are not always gentle. There were the times that they were in fury toward idolatry. There are the times that it talks about we need to be afraid to fall into the hands of this living God. But there's one thing of which you can be sure. There is always love in our Father's hands. And that love was sufficient to let his Son come and die on the cross, that we might be able to turn and go toward that hand that reaches down to save us. Those hands of God were sufficient to give us his word so that we can know exactly how he wants us to turn to Christ and to live for Christ and find those loving hands in Christ our Savior as a part of his bride, not out in the world as a part of sin. Our Father's hands are filled with love, and they are opened and outstretched, but folks, he demands and he expects for us to come to him. He's done everything that he needs to do. You cannot mention one thing tonight that our Father in heaven needs to do to make it possible for every last one of us to be saved eternally. The problem is on our part. The problem is on man's side. God has done everything he needs to do. His grace has appeared to all men. But it says he teaches us to give up some things and to take up some things and to live for him. The problem is not with the hands of God. The problem may very well be with the feet of men who are not willing to get up and turn and go in the direction of that great love of God where we can have those everlasting arms that are underneath to sustain us. I ask you tonight to think seriously about this. I consider this to be a very important lesson because we're dealing with the love of God in reality, not the love of God as it is so much misunderstood today. We're dealing with what's made available by the great grace of God and not misapplying his grace to take care of people where they are without any repentance or without any obedience or anything on their part. God's hands are not always gentle. But there's love, always love, in our Father's hands. And that love is sufficient enough to forgive us of all our sins, to heal us of our problems, to support us and to sustain us and to reach out to us if we'll only turn and go to Him and find in Him that kind of love and compassion that is needed so much. But my friend, I can honestly say to you tonight that the Bible teaches that if you stay outside of Christ, you don't have that promise. If you refuse to submit yourself in repentance, stating your faith, being buried with Him in baptism so that the blood that was shed from that Son that came to save us can save you, you have no promise of the value of the love that's in the Father's hands. And as a child of His, if you think that you can just live where you want to and do what you want to and God's going to reach out and cover it up and overlook it and take care of it, you don't understand the Bible. He wants you to turn and come back to Him and live for Him and be with Him and enjoy that love that's in His hands. And I would perceive that there may be those in the audience tonight who need to take that step. God's hands of love can save us, but His hands of love condemn sin. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But God be thanked that He so loved the world that He sent His Son. We're able to serve Him and to be able to say, as Christ did on the cross, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Believing that God can take care of things in this life and in the life to come if we will turn around and turn our lives over to Him and live for Him in obedience. There's always love in our Father's hands. I would remind you that Jesus is saying, and the Father through Jesus is saying, come unto me. Not to me personally, not to any man, but come unto God, unto the Father's hands. If that's your need, as together we stand and sing.
Calling today, why from the sunshine of